In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, today, Holy Mother Church celebrates Christ the King. Pope Pius XI instituted this feast in 1925 to help correct the world's tilt towards the chaos of secularism. Secularism claims that the gospel of Christ cannot have any influence on the life of human beings who live in society. This denial promotes the absolute independence of humanity from God. The Great War, the First World War, which ended in November 1918, made terrifyingly evident that universal devastation is the price we must pay for casting God out of public life. A few years after this war, and foreseeing the next global war to come, Pius XI wrote the encyclical Cras Primas 100 years ago from today. And he said, "These manifold evils in the world are due to the fact that the majority of men have thrust Jesus Christ and his holy law out of their lives, with no place either in private affairs or in politics, as long as individuals and states refuse to submit to the rule of our Savior, there will be no really hopeful prospects of a lasting peace among nations." Before Christ, the world knew no peace. But on a certain year in human history, the Son of God became incarnate and established his kingdom. It is at this moment we enter today's gospel reading. Jesus Christ faces Pilate. The Roman king of Judea stands in judgment over the eternal King of heaven. Pilate was not a bad king, as earthly rulers go. He was a good administrator of the Roman Empire. He had nothing against God. He had nothing against Jesus. He just didn't know him. He was only trying to keep order in the best way he knew. He was like most political officials in our day, non-Christian, with no recourse to a higher moral authority, for our social order has lapsed into its primitive non-Christian state. Like Pilate, Christ has nothing to do with our decision making, and we are trying to maintain peace without God. Pilate asked Jesus, "Who are you? Are you a king?" Jesus answers Pilate's question with a question: "Do you say this on your own?" In other words, do you really want to know who am I and what it means to be a king? Pilate becomes a little frustrated with these deeper questions, which seem like riddles to his crudely political mind. "Do I look like a Jew to you?" he flings back at Jesus. How am I supposed to know about your weird religion? Just tell me who you are and what you have done to cause a riot in my district. Then Jesus gives Pilate and all humanity the answer who we have been longing to hear. My kingdom is not of this world. Every worldly political order will fail to the degree that it refuses to have reference beyond the world. Jesus is not a political leader trying to outsmart the Romans or to change the local Jewish government or to take authority away from the Pharisees. He's not trying to get his share of votes in the Sanhedrin or the Senate. In short, Jesus did not come to earth to establish an army or an economic system or a political party, not even to preach the theory of these things. He came to establish his kingdom in a far different way. He came to rule in men's hearts and minds, so as to lead them to happiness in an eternal kingdom. We cannot keep order by ourselves. What do you think will happen if we put three children in a room by themselves for hours? Moms, no. They need an adult to keep from hurting each other. It is the same for our nations. Nations need a father greater than any earthly father, any earthly president, earthly king. Deep down, we all know this, and we know that the answer to our political conflicts is not found in this world. Jesus continues, I came to testify to the truth. Every politically mature person asks whether an earthly ruler ever be completely honest. And Jesus answers that question. No, he cannot. The world is ruined. It is lost to original sin. Only the ruler who is beyond this world can bring peace and order. Only God bears the fullness of truth, and the only way to rule this world is to refer beyond it. Pilate doesn't get it. Few rulers have ever understood this. Most politicians who call themselves Catholic don't get it. And I'm not sure how much we get it either. It is enormously difficult for anyone in our society, soaked as we are in relativism, secularism, to grasp how empty, how frail, how vain is any attempt at a peaceful order divorced from God's laws. Jesus rules over the hearts of men by faith, hope, and charity. So Jesus is king on two levels. First, by his divinity, he is our creator and redeemer. Second, by his humanity, he saved us by his suffering and death on the cross. Jesus wants you and me and every human person to be a member of his kingdom. We enter in it by believing in his word, by loving him, and by placing our hope in him. We must remember that Jesus is a different kind of king, that he is a king of hearts. He rules us through truth and love, not by force and intimidation. In his gospel, St. John, very spiritual, as always, links Jesus' kingship to his passion. The cross is Christ's royal throne. From the cross, he stretches out his arms to draw all men to himself. And from the cross, he rules. He rules over them by his love. For him to reign over us, we must allow ourselves to be drawn to him and to be conquered by his love. Many of us, many good Catholics, complain that they struggle with despair over our country, over the world, and sometimes over the church. World politics becomes more anti-Christian, more irrational, more chaotic, and more dishonest every day. That's true. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, and we cannot do anything about it. But do not let this presence of evil in the world crush your joy. And we have to remember this. Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. So why do we expect order, peace, and honest politics from this world? The world, as we know, is transient, passing, and it is passing away. Our hopes are not in this world, but in Jesus Christ, the Lord of the kingdom, not of this world. So if we are, when we are discouraged by earthly politics, guess what? We probably think too much of them. If you never miss the evening or morning news, but you do miss your rosary, your evening family rosary, you are bound to be depressed. But don't you know that the rosary is more real than the news? So we have to learn to turn TV and computer off and pray. Pray the rosary, and you will gain courage and hope. He doesn't reign in the society because he doesn't reign enough in us and in our family. He has to reign in us so he can reign around us. His kingdom is not of this world, but at least in part, it is in this world. By our very nature, we are subject to him. We exist because he created us and because he keeps us in existence. What is truly good for us is precisely what is required of us in his law. Once again, Jesus established no political party, but all legitimate authority comes from him. It's a serious mistake to think that any society can legitimately exist without acknowledging and paying the honor that is due to Almighty God. And certainly no society can institutionalize the breaking of his laws and expect to be rewarded, expect to receive his continued blessing and protection. This is something that we should continue to call to the attention of our politicians. and keep firmly in mind in our organizations, businesses, and family. It is then an important concept which we call to mind in today's feast. Jesus Christ is our Lord, He is our Redeemer, and He is our King. And it is important that we understand this correctly. Judas, the apostle, who expected Jesus to beat down the Romans and establish an earthly kingdom, was disappointed by Christ. He betrayed his master and hanged himself. It was this Judas who was concerned that some perfume offered by Mary Madeleine could be sold for a great price and given to the poor. Not that he was concerned with the poor, but that he wanted to fatten the treasury, probably to steal it. Judas was concerned with governments. Judas was concerned with economic systems, concerned with armies and politics. And he was disappointed. And Jesus said it would have been better for him if he were not born. Dear faithful, Jesus is King. More correctly, and in a more general and all-encompassing way, He is our ultimate lawgiver, executive, and judge. He is King of a kingdom which is in this world, but is not of this world. The kingdom of which we are most properly citizens is not bound by the shores of any river or ocean, nor by the peaks of any mountain range. It is not bound by political party nor economic program. It's not bound by a few hundred or even a thousand years of history. The kingdom of which we are properly citizens is the eternal and boundless kingdom of God, which only begins in this world but finds fulfillment in the next. So when Pope Pius XI instituted the Feast of Christ the King in October 26, 1925, he did it to remind us how transitory, how passing are this world's rule. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns over heaven and earth. Nothing and nobody can topple Him. We put our hope in Him and we commit our allegiance to Him. With Mary, Our Lady, we work and we are asked to work hard to bring about His kingdom in this world, but with our hearts set on the kingdom that is not of this world. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.